It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, special delivery.
I'm imagining almost like a picture of like a piece of the sky. And you can see in this picture like where the galaxies are. And then you can see between the galaxies this like fuzz. And I can like show you this picture and say, hey, we know how the universe works.
This is Erica Hamden. She's an astrophysicist.
But what I really do is build telescopes.
In particular, she's built an unusual airborne telescope.
The telescope is called Fireball, which stands for the Faint Intergalactic Medium Redshifted Emission Balloon. We call it Fireball, which is a nice, cute little name. And it is a balloon-borne telescope, which means that it hangs from a cable below a giant...
Oh, so it doesn't go up in a rocket at all?
It's not in a rocket. It's in a giant helium balloon.
Okay, so you might be thinking, why would anyone do this? Why would anyone send a telescope on a giant helium balloon ride? Well, Erica says that telescope could solve a scientific mystery.
So there's this huge amount of hydrogen out in the universe. We know that it forms stars, but we actually don't know where a lot of it is. It's like in between galaxies.
Okay, so you're looking for this hydrogen. You're on the hunt for it. But can you explain, just for us lay folks, what is so exciting about this missing hydrogen?
So hydrogen is basically like the reason that all of us exist. I like cannot stress enough how that is not an exaggeration. So stars are formed mostly of hydrogen, and they fuse that hydrogen into heavier elements. It's also everywhere. It is by far the most, it makes up the most mass out of the regular matter in the universe. So it's like the most simple atom possible. It's really basic, but it is the building block of literally everything.
Here's Erica Hamden on the TED stage.
Fireball is designed to observe some of the faintest structures known. Huge clouds of hydrogen gas. These clouds are giant. They are even bigger than whatever you're thinking of. They are huge. Huge clouds of hydrogen that we think flow into and out of galaxies. I work on Fireball because what I really want is to take our view of the universe from one with just light from stars to one where we can see and measure every atom that exists. That's all that I want to do. But observing at least some of those atoms is crucial to our understanding of why galaxies look the way they do. I want to know how that hydrogen gas gets into a galaxy and creates a star. Fireball is weird as far as telescopes go because it's not in space and it's not on the ground. Instead, it hangs on a cable from a giant balloon and observes for one night only from 130,000 feet in the stratosphere at the very edge of space. This is partly because the edge of space is much cheaper than actual space. I've been working on Fireball for more than 10 years and now lead the team of incredible people who built it.
When Erica started this project in 2008, the technology she needed to spot these hydrogen clouds didn't even exist.
I had just started grad school when a previous version of Fireball had flown, and they had used the old style of detector, and it just was not sensitive enough.
Erica and her team spent years designing and redesigning.
The detectors are extremely sensitive, so like depending on which machine you use, you can break the detector just by like putting it in and turning the machine on, which we did once. That was unfortunate.
And when they finally developed the tech they needed,
it felt really good to be like, oh, wow, this is working.
And so in September 2018, Erica and her team gathered in the New Mexico desert at a NASA launch site. They had done all they could to prepare Fireball for its journey. Now, they just have to wait for exactly the right conditions to send it up with the balloon.
And there's, like, actually many different layers of the atmosphere that need to be behaving correctly all at the same time.
There are lots of limitations on how often this balloon can fly, and so the team only gets one chance to get their telescope up into the air to capture the data they need.
Yes.
One shot.
Yes, one. The show is up for one night only, and so we wanted to make it count.
After waiting for weeks, the team finally gets the all clear from NASA.
On September 21st, we went to the weather briefing, which is at 11 a.m., and they say, like, okay, the weather is looking good. Like, do you want to take this launch opportunity? Yes or no? And we say yes. And then we all, like, start frantically getting ready.
Getting the telescope ready.
Yeah. And so at a certain point, they put the telescope on this crane. The crane is called Big Bill.
Love that.
So now it's September 22nd. It's like 5 in the morning. They take the telescope out onto the runway. And they say, like, okay, we think it's good. We're going to start laying out the balloon. So they put this, like, ground cover down. Because the last thing you want is, like, a goat head or, like, a spiky desert plant to, like, stick into the balloon. So the cover is down. The telescope is hanging from the crane. But the balloon isn't actually out. Because, like, once they start unfolding the balloon, they cannot use it again. Like, you can't refold it. So there's a couple of decision points where they're like, okay, are we really going to do this?
Oh my gosh. I mean, this is so stressful. Just listening to you tell the story, I can't imagine how stressed out you were.
Yeah, I was like definitely, I would have definitely said I was nervous, but I would also be like, well, I can't think about this right now. Like, I have too many other things to think about. So, like, I'm just going to pretend that it's not happening.
Okay, so then what happened next?
So once they start the inflation, that's when you know, like, oh, this is, like, gonna happen. And the inflation actually takes about an hour. And when it's fully inflated and, like, up in the stratosphere, it's basically as big as a football stadium.
Oh. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So it launched around 10 a.m. on September 22nd.
And when you say launch, they basically let the balloon go.
Yeah.
Do you remember that moment?
Oh, yeah. The balloon makes this noise of, like, it's like plastic moving through the air. You can, like, hear it, like, flapping, kind of. And then the actual release was super gentle. It just, like, disconnected from the crane and, like, slowly headed upwards. And I remember, like, looking up at it and being like, oh, my God, it's happening.
Yeah. Did you celebrate?
Yeah, we were like, all right, like, yes, way to go. And now the work starts. That was sort of our feeling. Like, I remember standing around outside right around sunset. And we were looking up at it. It had this, like, beautiful red glow in the sunset light. And it was kind of the, like, deep breath before then we go inside and we have to start doing the science operations and, like, actually taking data and pointing the telescope and all of this stuff that we had been training for, you know, for weeks and years. And that was a really nice moment to, like, to be like, oh, look, there it is. We did it. We finally got the telescope launched. I have put so much of myself, my whole life, into this project, and I, like, still can't believe that that happened. And I have this picture that's taken right around sunset on that day of our balloon, Fireball hanging from it, and the nearly full moon. And I love this picture. God, I love it. But I look at it, and it makes me want to cry. Because when fully inflated, these balloons are spherical. And this one isn't. It's shaped like a teardrop. And that's because there's a hole in it. Sometimes balloons fail, too. I had to go back downstairs and tell everybody on the team, like, there's a hole in the balloon. And that was, like, probably the worst part of the whole experience.
Oh, you were like, all this work that I've put in, and we thought we did it. We even saw it up there. Did you manage to at least get some data?
It ended up being not enough to do what we wanted. We, like, valiantly tried to collect as much data as possible,
like the whole way it's going down. And I was like, that next day, I was like having like a, almost like a crisis of faith about it, yeah. actually, of like, why am I doing this? The whole project, we're like making this incredibly complicated system to look at this like super faint object. Why am I doing the hardest possible thing at every point? And then you like build this whole thing and like put it on a balloon and then the balloon has a hole in it. Like,
why am I doing this? And I've thought a lot about why since that day. And I've realized that all of my work has been full of things that break and fail, that we don't understand and they fail, that we just get wrong the first time and so they fail. I think about the thousands of people who built Hubble and how many failures they endured. There were countless failures, heartbreaking failures, even when it was in space. And none of those failures were a reason for them to give up. I think about why I love my job. I want to know what is happening in the universe. You all want to know what's happening in the universe, too. I want to know what's going on with that hydrogen. And so I've realized that discovery is mostly a process of finding things that don't work. And failure is inevitable when you're pushing the limits of knowledge, and that's what I want to do.
All of science builds on the previous group of people not giving up. I don't know what the future holds or like what is going to matter 50 years from now, but like I know that it's going to matter to some group of scientists in the future that I didn't just say like, well, I'm not going to try again.
I mean, it's kind of amazing that the only reason why it failed was because of a tiny hole. That actually feels surmountable in some ways.
Yeah. At the time, it felt very out of control. It was like the one part of it that I couldn't be responsible for. But at the same time, it's like very fixable versus if everything else worked and we still just didn't see anything, like that would mean that there was a problem with the universe. Which is a lot harder to solve.
What's so interesting to me about your story, Erica, is as much as what you describe being fantastic, this humongous balloon holding this precious telescope, but the process of it is fascinating. I mean, it starts with an idea and then it takes teams all over the globe to build it and then transport it and then get it to where it needs to go. That in and of itself is quite a feat.
Yeah. It's like the combined effort of all of these people who are all driven to a certain extent by the same thing as me, where they just like want to know more about the universe than we know today.
That's Erica Hamden. She's an astrophysicist and telescope builder. You can see her full talk at TED.com. And Fireball, by the way, survived. It is scheduled to fly again in September of 2022.